All right. So our question of the episode is, if you had to pick one sort of Disney IP that does not currently exist in the parks, and this can include Marvel, it can include Star Wars, it can include all of the things, what would it be, where would you put it, and why?
Ooh.
It's a great question, and I have an immediate answer. Is it okay if I re-theme something that's already there?
Depending on what it is.
Okay. I think you'll go along with this. I think they should bring
back Maelstrom. Sorry.
Do you want to answer the question first?
No, go ahead.
I think they need to re-theme Galaxy's Edge to the original trilogy.
Oh.
So instead of like the new characters, you have Luke, Leia, Han, the group that started it all, being the group that's there in Galaxy's Edge.
Okay.
Love it. I love it.
I think people would connect to that story better.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, because you've got a lot of those same elements there anyway with the blue and green milk and Oga's Cantina and all of that kind of stuff. And you could have a snack stand that sells cinnamon buns.
Yeah. Mm. You could. That would be kind of amazing to match Leia's hair.
I love that.
And you could even still do like Galaxy's Edge, like the Rise of the Resistance, as the ride it is today with the current characters, just in the queue somewhere, have it explain that you're a Jedi and you're seeing into the future or something like that.
Love that.
Even with the same ride theme, you could then in the land have Chewie's in the land anyway, but you could have that original trilogy of characters, which I think more people connect to.
And would you go as far as Vader instead of Kylo Ren?
Yes. 100%.
I have my answer.
Okay.
We are blasting off to Epcot, and in Epcot, we need something that represents WALL-E.
Ooh.
Love it.
Yes.
I feel like WALL-E is missing from that park, and I take that personally because that's one of my favorite Pixar movies.
Okay.
I feel like it needs to be more of a Moana situation where it's interactive instead of a ride or a restaurant.
So we actually were talking about a WALL-E attraction when we were waiting in the line for Minnie and Mickey's Runaway Railway.
Okay.
And we thought, okay, so one of the biggest drags of any attraction is standing in the queue line, right? So if you have a WALL-E themed attraction, it could start off in the queue line where you get into one of those pod chairs, like what the guy in WALL-E sits in the whole time.
Oh.
And instead of walking through a queue, you ride through a queue.
I love that. That would be cool.
You know there would end up being a queue to get into the queue, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you'd have to stand there. Like, you could stand there on a forbidden earth, or what's the word I'm looking for? Not forbidden. The desolate earth.
Yep.
Before you get on your little thing and you go through the story of WALL-E.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
And when you come back out, you start seeing the green of a new world.
I love that.
That'd be cool.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
But then people would whine about, you have to wait in line to wait in line to wait in line to wait in line.
Okay.
Well, they do that anyway.
Yes.
That is true.
I have to wait in line to sit down. Okay.
Okay. Lacey, Candace, what's your answer to the IP you want to see introduced?
So I have lots of different ideas because I think that there are lots of movies that deserve IP in the parks that don't. But I think that it would be cool to see some sort of Land of the Dead from Coco. Kind of like how Pandora glows at night. It could be similar to that where it glows at night. We could have like, I'm not really sure which park it would belong in the best. Part of me wants to say Animal Kingdom, but that's more like Africa, Asia area.
Hot take. Redo Grand Fiesta Tour.
That is a hot take.
Steaming.
Yeah.
I could totally see it.
Yeah.
Have that be a boat ride through.
Well, and I've thought for a long time that the back wall of the pyramid, mm-hmm. where it has the volcano and stuff like that, if they did that, like that whole opening when you go to the Land of the Dead for the first time during Coco and you see the entire city.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How beautiful that would be.
It would be very beautiful right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it would be so cool to have like a Mexican restaurant sitting right outside.
Yes.
The entrance to go onto an attraction that then takes you through all of that. Mm-hmm. They could do the Remember Me is the song
mm-hmm.
that's sung throughout. And it could be Miguel. It could be De La Cruz. It could be
the whole gang.
Yep.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
That would be cool. I like that.
People might riot over Grand Fiesta Tour and the three Caballeros being taken out. But
unless you put an Easter egg in there, because if they're Remember Me, they would need to be there too.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, Candace?
I think we need more representation of Walt.
Yeah.
Okay, give me an idea.
He's not really IP, but like I don't know if just... I don't know what I would do. I really don't.
It's almost like it needs a Walt Disney Museum somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a true Walt Disney Museum somewhere in park.
I mean, they have One Man's Dream over in Hollywood Studios, which is really cool. And it reminded me of when we went to Marceline. Because they have a lot of artifacts and that kind of thing from the past.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that they need to bring more of a reminder that, yes, Walt Disney actually was a person.
Right.
And more about his family life and that kind of thing.
I agree.
Oh, this may seem like a chaotic thought because I haven't pieced it all together. But what if it were like a movie type ride, kind of like a Carousel of Progress mixed in with a theater? Like kind of that tells the story of Walt's life.
I like that because he came up with Carousel of Progress, so that would be mm-hmm. a nod back to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or they could redo Carousel of Progress with Walt. I'm sorry. Forgive me.
I think I'm
being banished from the podcast.
No, you're allowed to have a hot take. If I can have a hot take, you can have a hot take.
Yours is just hotter than his.
Yours is like piping hot.
Do you not remember a couple episodes ago when I said I would chain myself up out in front of the Magic Kingdom if they ever get rid of Carousel of Progress?
I do remember that, but I thought my suggestion would be a good compromise to update it a little bit and bring Walt into the same thing as well, since it was his idea.
I don't know.
They could even still use the same song.
They could. I think a Walt animatronic would be weird, though.
Well, they've got a hologram, so how much weirder can it get?
What if they morph Walt and Mickey into one person?
Whoa. Well, they are one person, so...
It's true, but, like, physically.
That would be weird.
Have Walt sitting on the stage wearing mouse ears.
Okay, now that would
be... Oh, I kind of like that.
I don't know. That's my idea.
Okay, I like it. Hi, I'm Scott.
I'm Candace.
I'm Lacey.
And I'm Lariah.
Grab a drink and come hang with us at the Hangar Bar.
Okay, welcome back to the Hangar Bar, everyone. We are super glad you are with us. We have the whole gang back together, and Scott is running the controls.
And as now, it should be.
Now he's getting a dirty look from the one who was running the controls last week.
You did great, Candace.
Yes, you did.
Thanks.
You did fine. I just like giving you a hard time.
I know.
I know. Okay, so today, let me start by saying we are not a news podcast. We don't necessarily want to be a breaking news podcast.
We never get anything else done.
Right. Which is exactly why we're talking about what we're talking about today. I have 7 different recent news things about Disney that we are going to react to today. All of these things have happened within about, well, the oldest one happened, like, was announced about 10 or 15 days ago. The most recent ones were things that were being talked about on recording day.
Wow.
So lots of different things. I have 7 different things that we're going to talk about and react to today.
Current events.
Current events with the Hangar Bar crew.
Yay.
Woot. Okay, anything else we want to talk about before we jump in?
No, let's get into this.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Okay, so I am going to cite my sources as we talk through this. The first one is I'm pulling up from MSN Money. So Microsoft Network, MSN, yeah, all about their money page. And we're going to talk a little bit about the whole issue between the Disney company and the state of Florida and the new Central Tourism Oversight District that was created a couple years ago when all of that happened. If you want to hear kind of the history of what happened, you can go back and listen to the episode that Candace and I did sort of real time on that one about what was happening in the world of Disney at that point with the opponent named Don't Say Gay Bill that resulted in the governor of Florida saying, how dare you get involved in politics? We're going to take away your Reedy Creek Improvement District. And then taking away the Reedy Creek Improvement District, putting the Central Tourism Oversight District in its place with people that were named by him, that were loyal to him, to the governor. Again, I know my politics is probably coming across in my voice, but I'm trying to stay politically agnostic. But so that's kind of what happened. Some funny things that kind of made the state of Florida look stupid and the new district look stupid is Disney worked with the old Reedy Creek board to say, like, they called it an 11th hour deal where Disney basically said, okay, fine, you can take over, but we're going to institute this contract with the old board that says we get to control all this stuff until the oldest living heir of King George III would be 21 years old, which basically meant this contract would be in place for like 110 years. And then all the lawsuits that followed from that. The new board sued Disney in state court. Disney was suing for First Amendment rights in federal court, suing the new board and DeSantis in state court for violating some other things. The new board passed a new resolution about voiding that 11th hour deal. There was a lot that went on with that. So
you'd think Florida would have something better to do.
You would think, but just this week, the state of Florida and Disney, and then, well, I shouldn't say the state of Florida, the new Central Tourism Oversight District, which replaced Reedy Creek Improvement District, settled with the Disney company, and basically all the lawsuits have been dismissed. So from what I'm reading, everybody kind of thinks that this was just one of those, everybody got a little bit, so they were okay letting it go away. Let's react to that a little bit. I'll share, well, I sort of described the situation. So let me have you all react to that first. What do you think of Disney letting go of their First Amendment lawsuit and the Reedy Creek, as I'm using air quotes, as easily as they did?
They wouldn't have done it had it not been at least somewhat beneficial for them. They are business after all.
Right.
And they're not, at this point, I don't think they need to play nice.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah, they took an entire new executive office complex out of Florida and put it back into California.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, like, said,
you want to play that game? We'll play that game and we will win.
We're going to take our ball and go home, basically, is what they said. And really, it was somewhere in the neighborhood of like $600 billion worth of jobs that got taken out of Florida and moved back to California because the state of Florida decided to play politics. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, Disney decided to play politics as well.
They did.
Like, if Disney hadn't come out against that bill or had done their coming out against that bill in a better way, we probably never would have gotten to where we are today. Like, Disney's response to that legislation that they were fighting against was bungled.
Mm-hmm. And look who was in charge of the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. It was during Chapek's tenure. Iger had to come in and kind of clean it up. But so here's my thing. Disney didn't settle until DeSantis's board looked more like a Disney board.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the people that DeSantis handpicked to be on that board, 3 of the 7 of them are no longer on that board, and they were replaced with people that are more loyal to Disney. Disney didn't care about Reedy Creek.
No.
Disney cared about the freedom that Reedy Creek gave them. They are still keeping that freedom with the Central Tourism Oversight District. Governor DeSantis gets to look like the good guy that took Reedy Creek away from Disney, because Florida has been trying to get rid of Reedy Creek for 20 years. And what's funny about that a little bit to me is just that they say that no company should have a say over their own whatever, their own government. But what's funny is the entire board and everything they do is voted on by the residents of that district. Who are the residents of that district? Disney.
Yeah.
And maybe, like, there's the Marriott hotels with the Swan and Dolphin, right? Or are those Hilton properties?
No, they're Marriotts.
Marriott. So you have, like...
And the Swan Reserve.
Right. But the Swan Reserve is a Disney hotel, isn't it?
No.
Is it a Marriott as well?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple... There's a few voters that aren't Disney, but 90% of the voters in that is Disney. So it's always going to resemble Disney and be comparable to Disney. So Disney got to go back and say, okay, fine, we'll just go back to what our 2020 plan was, and now we'll work with this more friendly board to do what we want to do going forward. And some of the other things that we're going to talk about today didn't get announced until after they had made that settlement. Like, Disney said, we're going to invest $60 billion in parks and experiences several months ago. They were very quiet about how much of that was going to be spent in Florida. Within 24 hours of that being settled, Disney started dropping news. This is the investment we're going to make in Florida. This is what we're doing to Magic Kingdom. This is what we're doing to Animal Kingdom. This, all of these things that they didn't have to green light until they settled with the district. You don't think Disney had a shit ton of leverage in that entire conversation?
They absolutely did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why I'm saying it's not really a settlement. They won.
Right. Well, the state won too, because they get to control the board.
Ugh.
And they get to control the district. It's everybody gets to walk away looking like a winner. And I'm going to let my politics slip in a little bit. DeSantis gets to walk away looking like an idiot.
He doesn't have to try.
Because Disney made him look bad.
Yeah.
Worse than he already did.
Right. He took on Disney for his presidential campaign because that's how he thought he was going to get the national recognition. It backfired.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
Yeah.
Love that for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Except for with the most hardcore of the base, it backfired.
Nice try, sweetie.
Yeah.
Nice try.
Okay, so that's the first topic. I told Candace we're going to start with the two boring ones, and then we'll get into more
boring.
Exciting
things. It's very
things.
Exciting because of what came off of it.
Yeah, what it means.
Yes.
Okay, so again, something that's just happened in the last couple days. Candace, as a stockholder,
yes.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the next topic?
You can start it off, and I'll interject where I need to.
Okay. So from this one, I'm looking at an article from the New York Times, reputable newspaper.
Yes.
Just like MSN Money is a reputable site.
Yes.
I tried to pull from reputable sources for all of this.
And we appreciate your valuing our credibility.
Yes.
Amen.
I do. Okay. So when Chapek was over Disney, we went through a pandemic. The stock for Disney kind of took a nosedive. And institutional investors were like, we need to improve the value of our stock. We need more money for our investment. They started making plans to get seats on the board. A gentleman named Nelson Peltz and Jay Perlmutter. Quick editing interjection. It's not Perlmutter. It's Jay Rizzullo. So if I say it incorrectly throughout the rest of this, my apologies. It was Jay Rizzullo. Said, we want seats on the board. They fired Chapek. Iger came back. They dropped that initiative to get seats on the board. Then apparently they didn't think Iger was doing enough to turn the company around. So about a year ago, they announced they were running the campaign to get themselves on the board. Nelson Peltz owns Trian Wealth Management, which is an institutional investor in a lot of different companies, owns a huge stake of Disney and other companies. Jay Perlmutter was the was he Parks and Experiences chairman at some point? Either way, he worked for Disney.
He was in Parks and Experiences. I don't think he was a chairperson.
But he was in the running to potentially be Iger's replacement the first time. So okay. He was a high up in Disney.
No.
He was a high up in Disney, but he got fired because he apparently his performance wasn't good enough, didn't get along with Iger or whatever. So he wanted to come. He wanted a board seat, and Peltz brought him along as one of the people that knew Disney. And what was funny through the entire proxy battle was that Disney created an entire website dedicated to what was wrong with these two people, mm-hmm. and put out commercials, used their full power of the media to get people on their side. And these two jackballs decided to try and do the same thing, created a website. But it was funny because I'm not going to go find it now, but when they were talking about Perlmutter, it was basically like, here's why he was fired. Do you really want him sitting on the board?
Ooh. Yeah, it was not a pleasant...
They didn't pull punches
at all. They really didn't, but...
So the Disney annual meeting was just this week. Mm-hmm. So Tuesday the 2nd?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was either Tuesday the 2nd or Wednesday the 3rd when they did the vote. I can't remember which. It was this week. That okay. lets you know when we're recording this one. So they went through and they did the vote, and the slate of directors that Disney wanted passed with flying colors. They all got elected, and the Trian Partners duo and the Blackwell duo, another group that wanted to try and get seats on the board, were rejected soundly. From what I understand from the vote, I've not looked up the vote totals, but Nelson Peltz was defeated on a 2-1 margin, and Jay Rizzullo was defeated on a 5-1 margin. Like, not even close. Nobody wanted him anywhere near Disney. So I think that's pretty telling. And then you don't hear much about the other one. I think the other one put forth board candidates to try and pull votes away from
the other two. Yeah.
Without thinking that they were ever going to have a shot at getting landing board seats. So again, this happens, and I think if you think about Nelson Peltz and what he's done to other companies when he's gotten on the board, is his entire MO is to raise stock price. So he goes in, he cuts costs, he cuts ingenuity, he would cut creative, all of these things. Like, even in the last month or so, he was caught saying, why does Marvel need to have black superheroes?
Oh,
like, he said okay. some really weird things leading up to it. And, like, why do we have to have women superheroes? Because, mm-hmm. like, in his mind, I think what he's thinking is Disney needs to go back to what Disney does and just make movies that make money instead of being woke. And, again, I'm using air quotes. Those are my words implanted on what he was thinking. But that's exactly the tone that those things took. But what's funny, again, is as soon as the vote was over, the proxy battle was over, the settlement happened from the previous thing we were talking about, and all of a sudden, Disney starts talking about building investing in the parks more, investing in creative. We got a new leader over Disney Imagineering that comes from a creative background. We got lots of different things that are happening that all happen as soon as the board got their slate of electors.
And I will say that as a stockholder, this is so there's an annual meeting every year. That's why it's called an annual meeting. And there's usually one or two things maybe to vote on as part of the proxy vote. They send out the information that you need. They make recommendations. And then however you want to vote, you cast your vote, and that's it. This is the first time since I have been a shareholder that there has been any sort of urgency and special awareness to what was actually being voted for. And they were very, very clear about this is really who we recommend and this is why. And this is really who we don't recommend and this is why. So.
Interesting.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah. And what I will say, too, is that I think Nelson Peltz got a little bit of what he wanted anyway. Because if Iger and Disney had, when they started this proxy battle saying we want seats on the board, it forced Disney to sort of say, okay, what's our plan to deal with this? And some of their plan to deal with that is not just creating media against them, but saying, here's what our plan is to make Disney better. So for a year, they've been talking about, here's what we're doing with media. Here's what we're doing. We're going to make ESPN a standalone streaming service that you can bundle with Disney Plus, like ESPN Plus is. So they're talking about all of these things. We went out and bought the entire stake of Hulu. Like, they had to go through and do these things to show this is how we're going to make money, which they maybe wouldn't have been as quick to do if they hadn't had this proxy battle. So while I would never want to see Nelson Peltz sitting on the board, that urgency that he created probably wasn't such a bad thing.
That's true. I can see why you say that.
As long as he's not there, I don't care.
Right. Sometimes you just have to light a fire under somebody, and however you do that is fine.
Right.
I don't know if he ever thought he would truly get a board seat or if his entire intent was just to try and... But he does have a history of kind of breaking companies up and just focusing solely on dollars and cents.
Familiar.
Yeah. Disney is at its best. We had a discussion about this the other day. Not we as in this group, but me and someone else had this discussion the other day.
You talk Disney with other people?
I know.
How dare you, sir?
I know. But what I was going to say is that Disney is at its best when creative and financial are just slightly at odds.
Like Walton Roy.
Walton Roy, Eisner, and...
Frank Wells.
Like, you think about, like, after Walton Roy, when was the company at its strongest? When Eisner and Frank Wells were running it together, and you had that creative versus the financial person that were kind of keeping one another in check. So Disney is at its best when you light a fire under them from that perspective. Like, no, I'm a firm believer that no one person, like, I'm sort of developing this theory in my head, but no one person should run Disney. You should have a creative and a financial person sitting at the top, however that looks. And I think that's why Iger hasn't been as successful this second time as he maybe was the first time or could have been, because he's trying to be both creative and financial at the same time.
And he had a mess to clean up when he came back.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But if you think about when is he going to be at his best, it's when he lets himself be a creative or lets himself be financial and gets pushed by the other side. That's hard for one person to do.
It is. I volunteer as tribute.
Do you? Mm-hmm. Do you want to go be the creative
side? The financial side would not end well.
Yes. Okay, so let's...
What's a budget? Right. No, we don't do that here. No. This is Disney.
We are Disney. We have all the money in the world.
Sprinkle some pixie dust on it. Let's go.
Okay, so let's jump into more fun stuff.
Yes, and please.
There's not going to be a lot to talk about with this just because, again, it released today, April 4th. So on YouTube, ladies, I don't know if how much you follow on Disney YouTube, but Disney Imagineering is releasing a YouTube show called We Call It Imagineering. And the first video is like a 14-minute video about new characters and animatronics and that kind of thing. And it's a behind-the-scenes look into Imagineering.
Ooh.
And they're going to start dropping. I don't know how frequently they're going to drop the episodes, but like they're pulling that into YouTube instead of releasing it on like Disney Plus or something like that.
I like it.
Further reach.
Yeah, do you know why it's on YouTube instead of Disney Plus?
I don't. Let me read.
Okay, makes sense.
So speaking again of reputable sources, this is coming directly from the waltdisneycompany.com.
Well, who else do we need to hear from?
So just like when Walt Disney personally guided TV viewers through the development of various new attractions at Disneyland before they even opened, Disney Imagineers are inviting you back inside as they work on all new experiences. As the company embarks on an ambitious effort to turbocharge Disney experiences, now is your chance to go behind the curtain so that you can see what our Imagineers are working on and to learn how those amazing people do what they do, Josh D'Amaro, chairman of Disney Experiences, said in the first episode of a new YouTube series titled We Call It Imagineering. The series showcases Imagineers, the folks who make the impossible possible, and the sky's the limit as they take viewers through how they're designing, innovating, and creating new experiences. The inaugural episode spotlights the constant innovation in audio animatronic figures, advancing one of Imagineering's most prolific technologies. As Imagineers, we know our end product isn't gears or circuits or revolutionary robotic figures that engage with guests in brand new ways. It's actually emotion in its truest form, Bruce Vaughn, Chief Creative Officer at Walt Disney Imagineering, explained. That's why we do what we do, and we're excited to be sharing this with you. Walt challenged us to stay curious, to dream big, and to always be thinking about the future, D'Amaro said, and that's what's happening right here every day as we turbocharge our destination around the globe. Follow the Imagineers every step of the way in this brand new series on the Walt Disney Imagineering YouTube channel. So it doesn't say why they're doing it on YouTube, but I think, again, probably just trying to draw people into different mediums.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, YouTube is free.
Right, where Disney Plus is not.
Yeah, so that could encourage people to get Disney Plus as well if they want more, because I'm going to assume that all the episodes are going to be around a 15-minute.
Right.
Whereas, aren't the episodes on Disney Plus around an hour, 45 minutes?
Yeah. So, yeah, how easy would it be for them to say, hey, you want to learn more about this? Go check out Behind the Attraction on Disney Plus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or you want to see these animatronics in action, go watch their movie on Disney Plus.
Smart. And call your travel agent to plan your vacation.
Actually, they would probably say call Walt Disney Travel to plan your vacation.
But why?
Yeah.
Because they make more money that way. But I don't think that's the right answer. I think you should work with a dedicated travel professional.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they'll be able to help you navigate more than somebody sitting in a call center. As much fun as those people sitting in a call center are to talk to, I'm sure.
Oh, they're lovely.
They're lovely. But somebody who knows you and your family and your travel likes is probably going to be better.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't cost anymore.
So let's talk a little bit about that. So this isn't just an episode of Scott rambling about news.
Okay.
What do we think of that show? Do we like the idea that they're giving us the inside look?
I love it.
Yeah.
And I also appreciate that it's on a different medium other than Disney Plus.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Tell me why.
Well, I know that there was a bit of a kerfuffle not too long ago about people walking away from Disney Plus for various reasons. And I think differentiating themselves and diversifying where they're actually putting media is a good idea. So it's not all in one spot.
Right.
I agree. And with social media, because let's face it, YouTube is a social media. Mm-hmm. With that being such a big thing, easily accessible, think about how many more people they can reach that way. I do think it's a great idea for them as like an advertising standpoint. But also it's good for people who can't afford Disney Plus and still want to, who are really into it. Think about like kids who are really into like engineering and stuff like that. And, you know, they don't have the means to, you know, watch that. And that's, again, free. Yep. So, yeah, I like it. Making things more accessible is... And I'm not sure how this goes too, but I'm not sure if Disney Plus is different in other countries or if it's all the same stuff. Because I know with Netflix, Hulu, all those bigger streaming services, the different movies that are on like here in the US are not the same that's in like Canada or Australia or any other country. So YouTube, it's same worldwide. Yeah.
As long as it's allowed in the country.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I wonder if this isn't a foray from Imagineering and the Parks and Experience Group to start expanding the type of content they put on YouTube.
Which would be wonderful.
You think like Disney in Tokyo, Disneyland Paris could even like be a part of that?
So hear me out. Disney doesn't get to control the messaging that's put out by influencers.
They do not.
How easy would it be for Disney to hire a team of influencers that show you around the parks?
I volunteer as tribute.
Right? And they get to be the ones to be like, go into the parks and do this and film it.
That would be amazing, because then we wouldn't hear about the same five snacks and the same six rides over and over and over and over again. And I said ride, not attraction, and I apologize.
And they would have the availability to then probably talk to more cast members. They would have the ability to talk to the parks chairmen. They would, all of those things to help draw people in and make that an advertising venue for a lot less than a normal ad spend. Because if you have a team of three people in each park around the world that's putting out YouTube content about the parks, you're paying them, what, on average, $75,000 a year maybe? Per person, that's a lot cheaper than an advertising spend.
And that way they have a bit more control over the quote-unquote talent.
Yep.
They have control over the content, mm-hmm. and they have control over the quality.
Yep. Can you imagine how easy it would be for them to have an influencer on a attraction that is being reopened? Like, hey, Tiana's opens tomorrow. Let's get a sneak peek of Tiana's. Let's ride it together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they could still do things like the restaurant reviews and that kind yep. of thing, but they wouldn't have some annoying person with a camera interrupting everybody else's dinner.
Right. Well, they might still, but it would be a annoying Disney person with a camera. I think.
But if you're a Disney person, you could like do it in off hours.
Potentially, yeah. I think my only fear with like reviewing food. Well, I don't agree with a lot of the food reviews that we see anyway. No. So what they would be able to do is just say, hey, let's look at this menu and let's eat the food and I'll describe what I think it is. But I think you lose a little bit of credibility as a reviewer if you work for the company. Like, I'm not going to trust somebody to review Olive Garden food if they work for Olive Garden.
Well, no, but I guess what I'm saying is not so much like a food review, but just more about the restaurant itself.
Right.
And the concept behind it and why it matters and why it's important where it's at.
Better at telling the story.
Yes.
Instead of just focusing on, oh, this food tastes good. It's a, let's talk about the story behind this.
They gave me bread. Right. Yay.
Their butter is too hard. No.
That's what she said.
Ooh.
No. No.
Okay, anyway.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that. I haven't watched the first episode yet, but probably after we record tonight, I'm going to watch the first episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's exciting. Okay, anything else about the We Call It Imagineering series?
Nope.
Okay. Four more news stories to talk about. Do you want to talk nighttime spectaculars first, or do you want to talk big park changes first? Let's go smaller to bigger.
Yes.
So let's talk nighttime spectaculars. So from, I don't know how reputable this page is, but I don't need it to be. I'm looking at clickorlando.com. And we are talking about a new, a new nighttime spectacular at Disney Springs.
Oh.
So Disney Springs drone show, Encanto sing-along among new summer experiences of Walt Disney World. We're not going to talk about the sing-along, that kind of thing. I am just more excited about Disney Dreams That Soar. At Disney Spring, drones will dazzle the skies above Lake Buena Vista with the Disney Dreams That Soar. The late-night visitors will see a showcase of Disney stories celebrating the joy of flight with state-of-the-art drones choreographed to create designs in the sky and paired with a soaring musical score. The drone show will run nightly from May 24th through September 2nd. So they're adding stuff to Disney Springs that almost make it feel like a fifth gate. Like, that's going to be a destination to go, hey, let's go watch this drone show.
And you know where the best place to watch that from would be?
The hangar bar?
The dock outside of the hangar bar.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because it is right there on the water.
Or the boathouse, any of those that are right there by the water. I bet they're going to start selling packages for those.
Smart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the only one of those that's owned by Disney is the hangar bar. So you know they're going to sell packages to that.
But why wouldn't they otherwise?
Right.
I mean.
But, like, you know the boathouse is going to be like, hey, you can guarantee yourself onto our patio or our top deck. And it only costs you $50 plus cost your food.
Yeah.
Sold. Interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we're not going to be there to be able to see that show, but hopefully it's successful enough and enough people stick around and it drives enough revenue that they want to continue doing it, because I think that is such a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
I've kind of always wondered why they didn't do some sort of thing. Like, it didn't have to be extravagant, but I've always wondered why there wasn't something going on there.
Some sort of a late night thing to do.
Yeah.
But having it be a drone show with music, it doesn't take away from the fireworks at any of the other parks.
Nope.
And
they don't have to spend the money on fireworks.
Right.
Figuring all that out again.
Yeah, all somebody has to do is hit play.
Mm-hmm.
Every night they just go hit the play button and the drones take off and do their thing.
Smart.
Yeah, it's exciting. Mm-hmm. And I know, I've seen, what is it, Tokyo Disneyland?
Paris.
Yeah, Disneyland Paris has a drone show that's mixed in with fireworks. Mm. So I'm sure some of that is, can we do a drone show in Windy Florida? And so, like, next time they do an iteration of the castle fireworks, it may include drones. Like, Disney doesn't do anything by accident.
No, we've talked about that before. There is no coincidence.
Yeah.
Everything leads to something else.
Yeah, but the fact that it's at Disney Springs is super exciting.
Yeah, yeah. Love that.
So they're saying the show title is Dreams That Soar. It's tied to flight. And this article says it's paired with a soaring music. And they use quotes around that musical score. Do you think they're going to use the music from Soarin'?
I do.
Oh.
I do.
Or do you think they're going to do a different soundtrack that's all about different flight things that are in Disney?
I think what they will probably do is, like, the soundtrack to Soarin' will be the main theme running throughout. But then I think they may take some of the music from attractions that aren't around anymore and work that in somehow. So maybe you've got some history, like Disney history and all those kinds of things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And work it all in.
Yeah, that's exciting. Lariah, what do you think about a drone show?
I like it. I think Disney Springs needed a little something new.
Yeah.
Not that nobody was going to go there, but I think it needed a little pizzazz to spice it up.
Other than a new, like, restaurant or store, just something different.
Something, I'm going to use the word free to watch, because I've noticed that Disney is very good with giving extras. That kind of sounds weird when I say it, but they don't skimp you out on your vacation.
Right.
So
And this will be the first nighttime spectacular that you don't have to pay to see.
Correct.
Right. And yeah, that's what I meant by that, is like a little, just something they can do to make your your vacation a little more magical.
Yeah.
Well, and if you think about it, and as we've talked before, like that's our pattern, is we hit Disney Springs the first night on arrival night, and that's how we start our vacation. We immerse into the magic. We just get ready for what's about to happen. How much cooler is that going to be now? Like, if this continues, the next time we're there, we're not only going to have that first great evening experience, but we're also going to tie it up in a bow with a fantastic drone show.
Okay, other night, we're going to go across the country for our next nighttime spectacular.
Dun, dun, dun.
So from the Orange County Register, which is the main newspaper in Orange County, California. So this was from a week ago. Star Wars fans will be treated to three different Disneyland fireworks shows featuring symphonic scores from the space opera film franchise that will sweep through the spires of Galaxy's Edge during nighttime spectacular shows. A galactic soundtrack featuring music by composer John Williams will be played in Disneyland's Star Wars-themed land during nightly fireworks shows as part of the Season of the Force seasonal event that runs April 5th through June 2nd at the Anaheim Park. Sign up for our Park Life newsletter and find out what's new and interesting every week at Southern California theme parks. The Galaxy's Edge pyrotechnic displays synced to the Star Wars soundtrack will vary depending on which Disneyland fireworks show is playing on any particular night. Either Wondrous Jersey, Journeys, Mickey's Mix Magic, or Together Forever. The first version of the Season of Force fireworks will be tied to Wondrous Journeys on April 5th through the 14th. The second take of the Star Wars fireworks will be paired with Mickey's Mix Magic on April 15th to the 25th. The third and final Galaxy's Edge fireworks show will have the longest run of all from April 26th through June 2nd, which will be synced to Together Forever. The Mickey's Mix Magic and Together Forever shows will have fireworks on select nights and run in projection-only mode at other times. That's a California thing. Wondrous Journeys will feature nightly fireworks throughout the run. What started out as an unofficial annual celebration on May the 4th of all things Star Wars has evolved into an 8-week tribute to the 1970s sci-fi epic space opera. Is it really a space opera?
I don't think so.
No, but we'll let them call it what they want. But how exciting is that? Like, we were talking in our question of the day, I kind of hearkened back to going back to the original trilogy. Like, you think about episode 6 is the one with the Ewoks when they win.
Jedi.
Mm-hmm. And like all the fireworks are going off as they celebrate.
Yub yub.
Yep. They're saying, oh, if they don't do yub yub as part of that fireworks show, I'm going to be disappointed. But how cool would that be to be in Galaxy's Edge with all the things that are happening and like the spaceships flying that you can hear and fireworks going off at the that is so smart to do something that is Galaxy Edge specific.
Mm-hmm.
It just fantastic.
Well, and especially if they do it right, because when we were there in February, which was my first time in Galaxy's Edge, I noticed like I felt like you actually go kind of down into a valley.
Yeah.
When it feels that way.
When you're part of the land. And so if you've got fireworks going off 360 around you, as well as the music, as well as all of the other things, I would probably have an issue and not know where to look first.
Right. You'd just get dizzy spinning around in circles trying to see it all.
Yeah. And probably be really confused, but love it all at the same time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Very immersive.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Very much so.
Yeah. I think that's super exciting.
And especially if there's like any battle scenes or anything like that in it, where you've got like the TIE fighter noises and the pew, 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 and all those other things. That would be
the blaster noises. Really, is that cool. What you're thinking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. I see, that's the kind of Disney I like, where I love how they're starting to immerse us into the movies and franchises that we love, like Toy Story Land. Dude, if I were like 7 to 10 and that was a thing, I would lose my mind. I mean, I lost my mind as a full grown adult going into Toy Story Land. And I love the idea of like that's what I like to see when it comes to IP, is like them like immersing us into the movies that we love instead of just like a little taste here and there. I love that they're doing this, honestly.
Yeah, and Candace is not a big fan of Hollywood Studios, but I'm becoming more of a fan of Hollywood Studios for that very reason.
Yeah.
They finally figured out that their theme is to lose you in the movies instead of being a celebration of movies.
Then they need to keep that going.
It just takes time. I think they're getting there. Everything that they've done has been to put you into the movie or into the TV show. Even Mickey and Minnie's. Again, no spoiler alerts on that. But the entire idea behind that is making you a part of Mickey's world.
Yes. Yes, 100%. But and I will say, I did have an appreciation for Galaxy's Edge when we were there. I thought it was fantastic. And that and Toy Story Land, I probably had the biggest appreciation for those two sections of that park. And it's very evident when you get outside of those areas of that park.
Yeah.
Of how far they really have to go.
Right. But I think they're getting there. And maybe that's part of that $60 billion investment.
Well, let's hope.
Do you like the idea of still having it like Hollywood and then you go into like movie sets like that? Do you like that idea?
I do like the thought of like a Main Street USA sort of thing, but the old Hollywood Main Street USA, and then it breaking off into different hubs and different lands. I still love the hub concept.
Yeah.
But they need to work on it not looking like a major money grub.
Yeah, they need to update it. Yes. and that kind of thing.
Agreed. Yeah.
Okay. We ready to move on from nighttime spectaculars?
I think so.
Okay, do we want to start in Magic Kingdom or do we want to start in Animal Kingdom?
And we're talking about park changes?
Yes.
Animal Kingdom.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is an opinion piece on CinemaBlend.com. So as I read the title of this article, just know that it's definitely an opinion piece, right? So Disney continues to reveal new plans for Animal Kingdom, and honestly, I'm not thrilled about the changes. I'm not ready to say goodbye. So before I tell people what the changes are, what do you think this person is not ready to say goodbye to?
Dino Land.
Yep, 100%. So what they are doing is they are taking... They've already filed work permits to start changing Dino Land, and they're talking about making it into Tropical Americas. So you think Central America, top of South America, Colombia, Panama, Candace, yes.
So why don't we just move Grand Fiesta Tour over there, because it would fit into Animal Kingdom with the Three Caballeros because they're birds, and do what they need to do in the pyramid that we were talking about earlier.
They very well could.
I think they should. Now, I mean, because now there's a place for it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have to just disappear. They could like put an Easter egg or two in the new thing, but pick it all up and move it.
I love it.
And they're birds. Animal Kingdom.
Yes.
Okay, I'm done.
So I'm trying to find a little bit more. I should have looked at my articles a little bit better to give us a little bit better understanding of what changes they're looking to make. Hold, please.
Well, if I might interject a bit, when they were talking about the project in Blue Sky... They were talking about potential Zootopia.
Yeah.
And they also mentioned Moana. Although Moana does have quite a fair representation with Journey of Water at Epcot now.
Yes. And also Polly a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I feel like they could add more Moana. Absolutely. At the Polly.
Plus Aulani. I mean.
Yes. Yes, that's true. Aulani as well. I kind of like this idea. I do. I like the idea of Zootopia, but I feel like it would kind of stick out a little bit at Animal Kingdom, just because it's like civilized animals, mm-hmm. whereas like everything else about Animal Kingdom is very nature
and wild animal
in their natural habitat, mm-hmm. all of that.
Not domesticated urban animals.
Yeah, and not like fictional.
Right.
I mean, we have Expedition of Everest, of course, but that's more of like a, he's,
it's mythical and legendary.
Yeah, like it's true to like culture.
Mm-hmm.
So with Zootopia, that's completely fictional.
Fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I still think that Zootopia should have its place somewhere because that movie is so underrated. And I think it would be cute, but I like this idea.
Mm-hmm. And plus, there's a lot of room there for, I mean, if we're talking tropical Americas, you have Mexico, you have Central America, you have South America. So you could very easily do Coco, you could do Encanto, you could do any number of other things.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for keeping the conversation going.
You're
while
welcome.
I looked. I could not find what I would consider a reputable source. I do not trust most of the Disney fandom sites, but this one has what I think is a lot of good information. I have no idea how good this news source is. So just keep that in mind as we're talking through this. It's from
huge grains of salt.
Yeah, exactly. It's from a website called www.wdwmagic.com. It's not one that I've known to like post a whole bunch of false stuff before. And it's, this one is a pretty factual article, but it says new permit suggests major expansion at Disney Animal Kingdom is a go. Posted about 2 or 3 weeks ago, a new permit filed by Walt Disney Imagineering suggests that the previously announced Blue Sky, Indiana Jones, and Encanto expansion projects at Disney's Animal Kingdom is now greenlit and ready to go. The permit outlines plans to install a Walt Disney Imagineering project trailer campground compound behind Collie River Rapids and a parking lot for more than 300 vehicles. The area has a backstage roadway and walkways leading to Dinoland USA. These types of facilities are common for large construction projects that we've seen in the past, including the Fantasyland redevelopment at Magic Kingdom and Pandora and Disney's Animal Kingdom. While the permit does not detail any specifics on what project the trailers are for, this is likely the first stage of beginning the previously announced Blue Sky, Indiana Jones, and Encanto redevelopment of Dinoland. Disney has two big dates in the coming months that could be used to announce the Animal Kingdom expansion, the annual shareholder meeting on April 3rd, and the 2024 D23 fan event in August. And I was looking for it, but I can't find it because I think Iger did talk about it yesterday at the annual meeting. So we know some of this is happening. I can't find the right article about it just at my fingertips. So audience, forgive me for not being prepared. Disney announced in September 2023 that new experiences inspired by Encanto, the Academy Award-winning Walt Disney Animation Studio film, and the fan-favorite adventure Indiana Jones were being considered for their reimagined Dinoland USA at Disney's Animal Kingdom. And I know some of the things that I've seen in news in the last day or two have been like Casita and those kind of things being a big part of it. Candace is raising her hand again. What can I help you with?
Well, it kind of makes sense because the track that the current dinosaur ride runs on is the exact same track that the Indiana Jones attraction in California runs on. So they could just bring it over and drop it in.
And very much, well, did Indiana Jones spend time in Central America, like Latin America, or were his all in like Egypt and Africa?
I haven't seen those movies in a long time.
Pretty sure there are some movies where he's in.
Take place in Central America.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to rewatch those because I cannot recall.
Because, like, at the first part of Raiders of the Lost Ark, wasn't he. I know he was in a jungle, like in a tropical jungle, when he got the golden idol.
Yeah, I don't know and if that's he, in Africa.
Then he flew to Tibet to see Marion to get the thing. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know those movies well enough. And you all were talking about Zootopia. Disney has already announced that they're replacing Tough to Be a Bug with a Zootopia show in the Tree of Life.
Fair enough.
Oh, a show. Okay, yeah. There we go. I like it.
I might actually go in and watch it as long as I don't have creepy crawlies and things stinging me.
They might still do some of that. I don't know. Because the
theater, then I'm not going.
I think people don't like that, so they may be discontinuing some of that.
Stinging you?
Yeah, like at the hornet part of the It's Tough to Be a Bug, they like sting through the chair.
Oh, no.
No.
I'm good.
Yeah, so I was trying to look. I'm super excited about that. Dino Land is, again, I like the story of Dino Land, but I think people expect the story to hit them in the face too much. Mm-hmm. And we as a Disney fandom have gotten away from original stories, and we want to be hit in the face with the IP that we get to watch on TV.
Like familiar.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't want to have to think.
Right. So, like, the idea behind Dino Land being a, for the most part, being a carnival that's parked on a parking lot somewhere is a story that just misses people.
Yeah.
Anymore. Looks,
right.
I'm sure it didn't when it first opened, but right. Anymore, I know I was lost.
Like, why yeah. Are we walking around on a parking lot?
Well, and to be fair, they've never, I mean, that story has never really been a widely shared story. Like, you just have to kind of know, or you have to know somebody that knows. It's never really been like, this is the purpose and this is what all this means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most of the sites that I'm seeing are all from places I don't really trust, so
okay, well, moving on.
I don't want to call them out. Okay, so that's exciting. I hope, like, how okay, let's, I know this episode's getting a little long and we have one more thing to talk about, but what does a casita look like as an attraction?
Would it necessarily need to be an attraction?
Not necessarily, but what are you going to put in it?
A restaurant. With Mirabelle's mother in the kitchen.
Making arepas?
Yes. And other things that would heal your soul.
Yeah. A restaurant would be good. I can also, because the house does so much, I could see it being an attraction too, like a sliding down the stairs.
I think it could be a walkthrough sort of thing, not necessarily a ride-through thing. I think it could be a walkthrough thing.
Yeah, I was going to say like the Swiss family tree house. Swiss
family tree house, mm-hmm. Okay.
I could see how it could get really crowded though.
Yes. Right.
Mixed Swiss Family Treehouse kind of walkthrough attraction with the interactivity of Journey of Water.
Yes.
Yeah.
As you get to walk through and interact with the house and the house, like different things you do makes the house do different things.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Totally. That's what they're going to do.
Yes.
See, I had more of an idea of it being kind of like the pyramid in the Mexican pavilion, where it's going to be bigger than we think it is. Mm-hmm. And they could maybe squeeze in a ride in there and a restaurant.
Very easy to do.
I am spacing out on names right now, and I apologize. The little boy, Antonio?
Yes.
What if they did Antonio's room, since it's in Animal Kingdom?
Oh, yes.
They could do his room with a leopard.
Yes! That could be the ride vehicle, would be a leopard, and you could ride through Antonio's room.
Josh, tomorrow, call us.
Yeah, right now.
I'm sure you have these things in the work, and they've been there for 2 years, but call us, because we have a better idea.
Right.
And you could go inside the walls with Bruno and the rats.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yes. I mean, it could be amazing if they did it right.
And your ride could be dependent on the ride vehicle you get in.
Yeah.
You get in a rat, yes. And you end up in the walls. You do it in Remy.
Yeah, but it's cute. The Remy vehicles are adorable.
Yeah, you still make an adorable vehicle. You just go into the walls with it.
Okay.
You get into a rat. Ew.
You still make an adorable vehicle. You just get into the walls with it, Candace.
And can we please have the Louisa part of it be with unicorn donkeys wearing tutus?
You could, your ride vehicle to do the Louisa storyline could be a donkey.
With a unicorn and a-
sure. Or you're just interacting with other donkeys that look like that. You're not necessarily on one of those, but you're like, because there's a lot of, like, you could be in a flower ride vehicle and follow the other sister, or and
cactus.
The
ow.
What's the
ow.
What's the girl's name?
Mirabelle?
Yeah, Mirabelle could be like the main character in all the different stories that you go to. and that you go through and you can like see other parts of the story as you're going through. So
she's like showing you around.
Yes. Right.
Her home, because she has the most connection with her home.
Yes.
Right. I love this.
I mean, that could be a whole section of the park all by itself.
Yeah, it really could be.
Yeah, seriously, okay. Mr. DeMauro, call me.
Hear me out. I got a little like vision in my head with creating
Bing.
Casita. What if you were like going
talking to the microphone?
Sorry. And they had like holographs or projections on top with like thunderstorms or like flowers, and it like it shined through like the walls and stuff to make it look like the house was alive.
Yeah. You have five, like, come up with like three or four different stories that you never know which one you're going to get, because it all depends on which ride vehicle pulls up to where you're standing at that moment. So like you could have a rat, a donkey,
a cactus,
whatever, like all the different ride vehicles,
a leopard,
and like you just get like. And that stops people sort of picking whichever line they want to go in, because you don't know which one's going to pull up. Those trackless ride systems, like they've already shown that they can come back in different orders. So you couldn't, like, that would speed it up for the cast members. They don't have to wait for somebody saying, I want to be first in line. I want to be whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a, let's just do, the rewritability of that is so damn high.
Or yeah. They put you in the different lines, and then like the ride vehicles roll up, and say there's four different parts of the adventure, or five, or whatever the case may be. All five of those vehicles will show up, but you never know what order you're going to get it in, and they don't pull up until you're in line.
Right.
So you can't be like, no, I want to ride on the left. No, yeah. Go on that one. It's fine.
And if you do the ride, the attraction correctly, like as you're going around, you could still interact with the other things. Like Antonio's leopard may cross through the walls, or you may have to take a flower vine if you're in Bruno's story to get, and you're still, all the rides can still, the vehicles can still interact with one another, but your story is different depending on the ride vehicle you're in.
I love this so much.
Yeah. This is too cool to not be a real thing.
Right? So. We just had a fantastic idea.
TM.
I'm adding a car. I'm adding a car.
Okay.
It's just an ear.
An ear?
Oh, for the sister that can hear. For Dolores. That can hear this whole conversation. And that one, all you do... That's the most boring of the ride vehicles. You just go sit in a corner and just hear the audio from all the other ride vehicles.
Like you hear whispering and they do like weird auto sounds like, no, I didn't do that.
Stop. No, and you hear like people like, right. On the other rides.
Like the other ride vehicles have microphones in them so you can hear what they're saying.
Ew, do you smell that?
Stop touching me. Sit down.
Can we maybe think of something to ride around in that's not an ear?
No, I'm pretty sold.
You like the ear?
The ear.
Yeah. You like
I'm okay. I'm just kidding.
And all you that one, it just goes off to the corner. So all you do is listen.
It's for those extra special guests that don't behave themselves.
We have a special line for you, sir. And guess what? You're first in line. Come on in.
You can stay on that all day if you want to.
You wanted the cheeseburger at 10 a.m.? Come on over here, sir.
Get in the ear.
That's too funny. Okay, now that we've come up with the perfect ride attraction, even with some silly bits.
TM
on the ride attraction. Let's move ourselves over to Magic Kingdom.
Oh, shall we?
Because there are some big announcements coming from there. I'm on Yahoo.com Entertainment. I think it comes from a newspaper called Deadline, is where this article comes from. It's just captured by Yahoo Entertainment. So Disney offers details on Beyond Big Thunder project called the biggest expansion ever at Walt Disney World.
Ever?
That's scurry.
One day after Bob Iger faced questions about Disney's competitive position versus Universal and Orlando theme park, came more information today about a significant expansion of Walt Disney World. Michael Hudgen, Walt Disney World site portfolio executive, said the company's Orlando resort is undergoing probably the largest expansion ever at Magic Kingdom, according to a piece by CNN. Dubbed Beyond Big Thunder, the project is so named because it will expand the park into a swampy, wooded area behind the current Big Thunder Mountain Railroad at one corner of the property. And it says, see the photo below. We're an audio-only podcast, so you can't see the picture. Hudgens said the expansion would be on par size-wise with the 14-acre Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Asked for specifics on expansion plans at the company's resorts yesterday, Iger refused to be pinned down. You know, we have a lot of projects in development, he said. Many of them are known to us, but we disclose these at a cadence and when we really feel we're ready. And we have something more tangible to show people. The odd thing about Iger's reticence is that chairman of Disney Parks Experience and Products, Josh Damaro, has been offering potential examples for at least 2 years. The biggest round of applause at the 2022 D23 Expo fan event came for a potential Coco-themed land, which could also include elements from Encanto. He even shared concept art of what he called Beyond Big Thunder Mountain at Walt Disney World Encanto, which would incorporate the film into the railroad ride, see below. At last year's D23 event, Bryce Vaughn, chief creative officer at Walt Disney Imagineering, also called the future expansion plans for Magic Kingdom in Florida the largest ever for the park and confirmed the scale would be along the lines of Galaxy's Edge. So why is Iger being so vague? The question is a familiar one to Disney. It may be Damaro has a big unveiling plan this year's D23 event, which takes place August 8th through 11th. There may be another reason as well. At last month's six-hour Anaheim City Planning Commission meeting on the company's request for zoning flexibility in relation to the city's 1994 resort-specific plan for the area in and around Disneyland, a string of residents wondered if the commission and Disneyland honcho Ken Potrock why they are being asked to allow $1.9 billion revamp of the park with scant details on what specific attractions and experiences are being added. Yada, yada, yada. Let's get back to Disney World. Examples given on this site include Frozen Land, that's still talking about Anaheim. So yeah, the rest of it is just about them being vague on what could go in. But one of the things,
how dare they not tell everybody everything?
Right, exactly. Exactly. So
rude.
One of the things that I'm actually hoping they do that was teased at that same D23 that this article called out is a villain's land.
Absolutely, 100%.
Please.
And they're building an Avatar area at Disneyland?
Yes.
Interesting. Yeah, so I think if they're going to do Beyond Big Thunder, I almost, like, they're not going to do an Encanto land in Animal Kingdom and turn around and do the exact same thing in Magic Kingdom in Florida. No. They're just not going to. And there's more talk of that being in Animal Kingdom. Like, that's a rumor that I would rate to be on fire versus they're not saying much about what's going to happen in Disney World or in Magic Kingdom except for Beyond Big Thunder.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is just a location at
right.
this point.
Right.
But if they could do a villain's land, or like I could see Coco themed land, but again, you're talking, does a Coco land fit in Magic Kingdom, or does a villain's land fit in Magic Kingdom?
A villain's land definitely fits in better to Magic Kingdom.
I agree that I as much as I want a Coco land, I think the thought of a villain land and bring back some of those classic Disney villains like Maleficent and Cruella and Ursula. Like, just think how creative. It could just be little, like, their little homes just, and, you know, more characters to meet and greet.
Mm-hmm. They may even be able to do something like they do in Disneyland where the characters are just kind of free roaming.
Yes.
I know
yes.
they were trying that at Disney World for a while, like with Captain Jack Sparrow and even Peter Pan, where they would just be walking through the park. And I think if they could do that and not have people be creepy and grab at them and like completely monopolize their time, I think that would be amazing. But how cool would it be to be walking around there and see the Evil Queen from Snow White strolling by with an apple in her hand. And she would actually interact with you, and because she does in California.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Or Maleficent, or Ursula, or Gaston.
I would love that, just to see them roaming about.
Mm-hmm.
And do they put in another castle?
Yes. Maleficent's castle. We've had this conversation.
I know, but does that take away from the one at the end of Main Street?
No.
Well, they have the Beast Castle.
Yeah, and I do think that if they scale it down, like, it doesn't need to match the size as Cinderella's castle.
No, you don't see the Beast Castle from anywhere.
That's true.
Right. So if they scale it down quite a bit, like, half the size.
Well, and think about what they've done with, like, we're going back to Galaxy's Edge again. But when you are in that specific area of the park, you do not see anything else around you.
Yeah.
Nope. Right.
And unless you really, really look really, really hard in other areas of the park, you don't see that part of the park.
Right.
So they have the technology. They know how to do it. But yes, I think Maleficent's castle needs to be a thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not a villain's land, what else would you suggest is beyond Big Thunder?
Not Frozen.
Yeah, please not Frozen.
I'm shocked.
I know.
You said that.
I know.
One of these days, we're not going to mention our hatred for Frozen in a podcast episode.
We might have last week. I don't remember.
We may have.
You talked about it. I'll have to listen, but you had an Epcot day, so I'm sure somebody mentioned the Frozen attraction.
I think I did joke about it. I think the only thing, and we've talked about this multiple times, like almost every episode, but Emperor's New Groove needs to have a spot in the park.
They could put that over in Dino, or what is Dino Land, since it's Central tropical Americas.
Yeah.
It could, yes.
And that would fit very well in Animal Kingdom.
It would.
That, all right.
All right. Anyway, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, that was going to be my thought. It had ended.
Yeah, just do a land around. What, do we know what city state he lived in? In Mexico?
It was Peru.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a good idea. What else? Anything else that we would put beyond Big Thunder? Or are we kind of all in on Villains Land?
I'm completely stuck on Villains Land. And I'm going to be a little upset if it doesn't happen.
Because I'm saucy if it doesn't happen.
Yeah. Mm. I think they are so underrepresented in the parks. And they make or break a story.
They do. There is no story without a villain.
Exactly.
Do you think a villain's land would be too scary for families in Magic Kingdom?
Who cares?
They could do it right. They could absolutely do it right, at least during the day. And at night, it could get a little creepier, but not too creepy. And don't bring your kids.
That is actually a great idea, and that would be competitive with Universal's Halloween Horror Nights.
Mm-hmm.
If they would just bump it up a couple of degrees scare factor in the evenings. Like, not to the point where you need an age limit like they have at Universal. But they could bump it up a little. I mean, I don't want somebody grabbing at me because they're going to get punched. It's just a thing. Like, don't try and grab me. But...
Well, and also, with the Disney villains, a lot of them are kind of dumb. Like, they're kind of silly dumb. Like, we have Gaston.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Hook. He's also kind of an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And Cruella is kind of stubborn. Like, the only scary ones to me are the Evil Queen in Snow White. I think she's scary as hell.
She's terrifying.
Terrifying.
And Lady Tremaine, she's terrifying.
She's evil for evil's sake.
Yeah. And there was one more and I can't, lost me. Maleficent can kind of be scary, but you know, we have the Maleficent.
It's easy for you to say.
Maleficent.
We have the movies that portrays her. You know, in a like, you know, you get to see her side of things and stuff.
Right.
But I think, I don't think it would be that scary knowing that a lot of those villains are just kind of like, they're silly and they're just, we know they lose and I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, I think no matter what they do, it'll be fun to see them building. I just hope they do it in a timely manner. Like, you want them to do it right. But if they announce this at D23 this year, you also don't want it to be 2027 before it opens.
But if that's what it takes for them to do it right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they are filling in swampland. Right. So
it's going to take some time.
Yeah.
But I also don't want them to turn it into a four-year Tron project again.
Right, where it's one attraction that takes 4 years to build.
Right, and that you're standing in line for 6 hours for a minute and a half worth of fun.
Fun.
Okay, so that was all the big news stories, but we're going to wrap up tonight. I'm just going to ask a question. Have you seen any of the new animatronics from the new Tiana ride?
I have
not. They look amazing.
Okay, I'm going to share. Hopefully you'll be able to see my phone, and I'll just let you react to these as I show them to you.
Isn't that Tiana's mom? Oh my
God. No, that's Tiana.
It's in her new outfit.
Mm-hmm.
It's Tiana in her Bayou Adventure outfit.
Love.
Like, the detail on these animatronics is fantastic.
Mama Odie.
And these are all animatronics that are designed and built and going to be on the attraction. So I am stoked.
Yeah.
So there's Mama Odie.
Yes.
And all those beads, like the story behind those beads is she's given all these beads because she's so respected. The more beads you have, the more respected you are. So like all of her necklaces are from her community that love and respect her.
Is that the G reason why she has so many beads? Because we all know what more beads mean.
Yeah, she's not from New Orleans. She doesn't go to Bourbon Street.
She's from the Bayou.
Oh, okay.
Lewis.
Oh, my God.
I actually saw a clip earlier today of the voice of Lewis meeting animatronic Lewis.
Oh, my God.
And it was adorable.
Naveen's little brother.
Oh, he's going to be
in the band. He's a drummer in the band.
Good
in
for
one
him.
Of the bands. There's multiple there's a Critter band, and then there's a like Lewis's band.
Charlotte.
Oh, there she is. Oh,
so
she looks
cute.
Amazing.
So those are all the ones of pictures that I've seen today. So, yeah, that's soup. Like, and look at the faces.
Yeah.
Like, you compare that to the animatronics that, like, are in Carousel of Progress. You compare those to the even the newer ones that are on Mickey and Minnie's or in the Frozen Ever After attraction. These are
real faces.
They're real faces, and they look like real people.
Yeah.
And the clip I saw today was Lewis conducting the band, and he just, like, they were talking about how much feeling they put into it. Like, they have to make it to where his chest and his belly move as he's, because that's how they show off his happiness and his gusto for life and that kind of thing. Like, they're thinking about, like, I love that you're starting to hear the creatives at Disney think and say things like creatives again. Like, we went through, even before Chapek, it was kind of a dark period where you didn't hear much from Imagineering. They were still doing amazing work, I'm sure, but they weren't out talking about why they love doing their craft like they are now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I think that's important to be celebrated.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else we want to talk about? Any news that I didn't bring up that you all think we should be talking about?
I did want to say that I did see an article today because it technically is still spring break in Florida. And I saw today that they had to turn off park hopping this afternoon.
Into Magic Kingdom, right?
Into Magic Kingdom because it was at capacity. So there were 100,000 people in Magic Kingdom today.
Oh, wow.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't be able to turn around.
No.
Yeah,
no.
That's insane.
Yeah, and apparently, like, Genie Plus had sold out even at the highest prices that they were charging for it. It was sold out for the day.
Yeah, if you're going to have 100,000 people in the park, the only way to do anything would be with Genie Plus.
Yeah.
Like, that would be ridiculous.
Do we know what the average is per day? Like, what the average number of people who go to the park a day just on a regular, like, Tuesday?
I can get us theme park attendance for Magic Kingdom.
Approximately 57,000 visitors a day.
Yeah.
And that was as of 2019. 57,000.
Huh.
So a little over half capacity.
So I'm going to assume when we go, usually, like when we went last time in September, which is not a popular time because it's right. cheaper to go there during that time because of hurricane season. Mm-hmm. I already think it's crowded at that time.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I mean, that's great for Disney, but I would have a heart attack.
Yeah, that's too many people.
Yeah.
Too many.
And at that point, like, you pay the amount of money that you pay to get into the park to do nothing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Other than just walk around and be there. Mm-hmm. Which, if I'm going there to do that and that's my choice, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But if that's all I can do, that's another.
Yeah, I agree. That'd be kind of a downer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, this was a long episode, but it was a fun one. I love talking just all things Disney with y'all. Check us out on our social media pages. Come let us know what you think of all this news. Let us know what you think of our Casita Encanto ride. Are you on board? Would you help us lobby Disney to make that attraction? I think I'm going to write a strongly worded letter to Imagineering. Ooh, maybe I can just send a message on Joe Rohde's Instagram.
Maybe you can.
I have an idea for a ride.
Joe's working with Imagineering again.
Ooh.
Like, just send him a message. Say, I have a great idea for a ride. Who do I share it with?
And I can't believe that wasn't one of your news things.
What?
That Joe Rohde is working back with Imagineering again.
He's contracting with them. I know. Anyway, thank you for joining us and listening to us ramble on about all the Disney news. This was fun. Kind of got us caught up on all things Disney. Got us excited about the future for Disney as well. Hopefully it did for you. And remember, there is a great, big, beautiful tomorrow.
And we'll see you real soon.